Well, with an introduction like that, there's probably nowhere you can go except down. Oh, boy. Yesterday, I was at Dave Fitzgerald's church in St. Anne. And I opened by saying that a number of years ago, I was at a Calvary Chapel in Appleton, Wisconsin. And they had a contest to see who had come from the furthest place away. And I mentioned there was a lady that had actually come from China. And when I got up, I was the first speaker. I said, you know, I hate to burst the Chinese bubble here, but I came from the most far out place of all. I came from the New Age. And I don't know how many of you, the New Age it got diminished in terms of what people were looking at in the church during the 90s, and it almost disappeared. But I want to just define what the New Age is, because there are probably some people here that, what is that? The New Age movement basically has a bottom line belief that God is in everyone and everything. We are all one because we are all divinely connected. Now, hopefully you know that that's not true. God is not his creation. He's separate from his creation. His Holy Spirit is sent to believers when they accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And his Holy Spirit dwells in believers. So in that sense, God is in us as believers, but we're not God. But the New Age says that all the world is the body of God and the body of Christ, that each person is a cell in that body. And what they're also saying is that if you deny that teaching, you're denying who God is and who humanity is. And if you deny that, you need to be healed or you need to be eliminated. It's very clear in writings. I've documented it in my book, False Christ Coming, Does Anybody Care? So, to give an example of just how serious this is, and I want to set this up with scripture, 2 Corinthians 2:11, lest Satan get an advantage of us, for we're not ignorant of his devices. Well, we have become ignorant of his devices, and part of the reason is because those who have assumed or are in quote-unquote Christian leadership are not talking about these things, so people don't really know about them. Now, on an individual level, you've got pastors like Scott that are sharing things on a discernment level, but largely, you're not hearing this stuff from people like, you know, Rick Warren or whatever. Rick Warren says that the New Age is a bunch of baloney. I'm going to show you that it's a lot more than that. It's Antichrist, and it's the false Christ that's coming into the world very, very quickly now. And will one day, we are told in Scripture, will one day, you know, the Antichrist will be here. The New Age says we don't have to have that. We can, as the body of God, we can co-create the future. In other words, we can do away with Armageddon. We can do away with Revelation. We can change the future. There's been a number of TV programs that have that theme where something, you know, they're in the future, they go back and they change things, and it doesn't have to happen that way. Guess what? Revelation, Jesus is very clear. Prophecy. These things are going to happen. Prophecy doesn't get changed by New Age teachers or by deceived Christian leaders. So the best example I can give, for those of us that have been around a while, when we were kids and we put the Christmas tree lights on our Christmas tree, if one bulb didn't work, what happened? Short-circuited the whole tree. That's what the New Age is basically saying. If Bible-believing Christians, because we're the ones that would not accept this, are not accepting this belief that we're all a cell in the body of God, like the bulb in the tree, then we're going to disconnect the energy that would flow through humanity to help create world peace. So I don't know if I'm saying this exactly the right way, but if you put it all together, under crisis conditions, which we're in, and it's going to probably just multiply because it's kind of like the old Westerns where the bad guy shoots at the good guy's feet and he says, dance. And while he's dancing, he tells him what he wants him to do so that he'll stop shooting at his feet. We're being, you know, you hear about purpose-driven. We're being crisis-driven into a circumstance where people like Rick Warren are going to say, and that he's already saying it, hey, can't we all just get along? Did Jesus say that? No. Did he say that he came to bring peace? No, he came to bring division. His truth divides. Mark them that, you know, have problems with Scripture that are contrary to Scripture. Mark them. But we're being told, you know, the discernment people are being told that we're the ones that are causing division. Everything gets turned upside down. If you critique false teachings, you have a critical spirit. according to these people. If you sound the alarm in Zion, you're an alarmist. If you hate evil, you're a hater. It all gets flipped upside down. So the net effect is that we're going to have a big push. I really believe we're on the cusp of a false revival. We're hearing a drum roll from some very well-known Christian figures that they've been told that revival's coming. I don't think so. Not with the teachings that are, you know, the books that are coming in, not only into the world, but into the church, and with the things that are going on. And the people that are beating the drums for this revival are not talking about the false teachings that we're going to talk about today. And that is, again, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Galatians 5:9. Doesn't take much. Psalm 11:3, if the foundations be destroyed, what shall the righteous do? The foundation is Jesus Christ. If Christ is in everyone and everything, then we don't need a Savior. Because what? The New Age tells us, we go inside ourselves and we awaken. This is the awakening, the global awakening that they talk about. We awaken to our own godhood, to our own Christ-centeredness. And when we do that, we are saved by ourselves. It's pretty wild. But years ago, in 19, well, here, I'll just read you exactly. Chuck Smith, late Chuck Smith, founder of Calvary Chapel, had a book called The Soon-to-be-Revealed Antichrist. On the front cover, 1976, it said, the stage is being set, the world and the minds of men are being conditioned for a leader, one who can establish peace and safety in these perplexing times. The Bible predicts these events and describes this man of solutions whose number is 666. That was in 1976. I went into the New Age movement heavily for 5 years in 1979. In 1980, there was a book called The Aquarian Conspiracy. And it was a New Age leader by the name of Marilyn Ferguson who wrote this book. And she said, we have a great heretical idea, God in everyone and everything, God within. And we're coming at everybody with it, but we're not going to pull this off right away. It's going to take a while, but when it gets widely publicized, then it will take into effect. That was 1980. Just several years ago, there was a book called Occult America, How Mysticism Has Shaped America by Mitch Horowitz, endorsed by Ken Burns. There's actually a statement that Ken Burns makes. Let's see if I can find it here. My wife says, don't ever do this, Warren. You know, you embarrass yourself. Anyway, Ken Burns said that it's amazing what lies beneath the surface of American history and that mysticism is a part of it. He's the one that's done, you know, you've probably seen them, like the documentaries on baseball, the Civil War. He just recently did one on the Dust Bowl days and on Roosevelt. He's established himself on PBS as kind of like the go-to guy on documentaries. I think we're going to probably see something similar on how mysticism shaped our country. But he endorsed this book. And what he's basically saying, Mitch Horowitz, in Occult America, he says, we're here. It's even in the church. We're here. It is now occult America. America is not a Christian nation. It's an occult nation. What's the occult? The hidden things of darkness that are now being brought out into the light. So now the occult, which used to be hidden, is now hidden in plain sight. For those of you who may have had somebody give you a copy of The Shack or may have enjoyed reading The Shack, the Jesus of The Shack says, God, who is the ground of all being, dwells in and around and through all things. There's your leaven. There's the problem. He also says, evil does not exist. That's another part of the New Age. Evil's not real. There's no Satan. There's only projected fears from within yourself. But when you realize you're God and you deal with your own fears, then you won't see any darkness out there. Those who see a Satan or darkness are greatly deceived, says the New Age. We're not hearing 1 Corinthians 14:8. If the trumpet gives an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself for the battle? We're having Bible teachers that are well-known even within Calvary Chapel, that go line by line, verse by verse. But when they get to those scriptures that describe what's going on today and the things that are manifesting, they just kind of stay with the Bible verse and just keep moving on. They don't give practical examples. What I want to do is I want to impress upon you how far the Antichrist philosophy, the New Age philosophy, has infiltrated the church. And to do that, I'm going to go back over just a little bit of my own testimony. How did I get involved in the New Age? Well, I wasn't some guy who was like loved God and wanted to be a spiritual seeker, and he went to caves in the Himalayas. I was taken by a waitress in a downtown restaurant in Chico, California, Northern California. And I invited her over to my house for dinner. And during the evening's conversation, she says, a friend of mine is coming into town, and she's a psychic from Canada. Would you like to have a psychic reading? I really didn't. As a matter of fact, I really, really didn't. I was from the East Coast, and I was a little skeptical about stuff like that. However, being a guy and wanting to get in her good graces, I said, well, sure, I'll do that. So there I am, suddenly sitting there with the psychic, and I won't belabor it, towards the end of the reading, and she was telling me things about myself that she had no way of knowing. Remember the psychic in Philippi, the soothsayer, Acts 16:16? What happened? Why did Paul and Silas end up in prison? Because they put a psychic out of business. How did they do that? They cast, in the name of Jesus Christ, the divining spirit out of the psychic, and she could no longer do her readings. It's not some gift that people have. It's a divining spirit. So this woman's telling me all sorts of stuff. I had, you know, my background in the church was limited. I went to a real liberal church, a beautiful New England church. I mean, steeple, the whole thing, and it was just real liberal. Nothing about, you know, Jesus dying on the cross for our sins, defeating Satan and evil on the cross at Calvary. Just generic stuff. So I didn't really have any background. And towards the end of the reading, there was this whirling sensation over the top of my head. And it was like really intense. I'm like, what is going on here? You know, I never experienced anything like that. Without my saying anything to her, she said, are you aware there's a ball of light over your head right now? And I said, I don't know what that is, but I can feel it. She said, it's a ball of light. And I said, what's it doing there? She said, you have a lot of help on the other side. I said, what's the other side? She said, loved ones that have passed on, angels, spirits that are interested in your well-being. They want to help you in your life, but you need to give them permission. So that night on the flat roof of my house, looking up at the sky, I prayed and I said, you on the other side, I want to be more spiritual. I want to grow. Come into my life. Now, I hope you all recognize that is a reverse sinner's prayer. I just blew it big time. But wait a second. I was really sincere. Would God let somebody who was really sincere get deceived? Yeah. All the warnings in the New Testament, all the warnings in the New Testament are to the church, to believers. People think those are for, like, the lost, you know, they're for us, because he knew that the church would do what it's doing right now, which is going off the rails in a big way. So what I basically did was Ephesians 4:27, neither give place to the devil. I just opened the door. The example I gave yesterday was that, you know, it gets cold here in the St. Louis area in the wintertime and you want to heat your house, but, you know, your kid left the back door open. Or maybe you left the back door open. Don't want to blame kids for stuff. So you can't figure out, why is the house not warm? Well, I opened a door, and the devil walked right in with all the New Age stuff. My life took off like a rocket ship. I could not begin to tell you the number of synchronistic, seemingly coincidental events that brought me closer and closer to my New Age teachings. Probably the most interesting, I guess, was I was in Big Sur, California, which is a really beautiful part of the Central California coast. And it was New Year's Eve, and I was with my girlfriend at the time. And I, you know, it was like maybe just several months after I had this experience and had said, you on the other side, come into my life. And I was at this big bookstore, and I wanted to get a spiritual book. And I saw this book called Journey Towards the Heart by Bhagwan Sri Rajneesh, an Indian master. Now, there may be a few of you here that recognize Rajneesh was an Indian guru who actually ended up in Oregon, and I'd never heard of the guy before. So I grabbed the book and I went to the cash register and I said, I need a place to stay tonight that's really nice. He said, go to Deachin's, but he said, he's got to like you for you to stay there. And I said, what? He says, just try it. And I said, okay. So I went down there. There are all these cabins at the base of this mountain, and he showed me around and my girlfriend, and we said, well, we'll take this one. And then he looked deep into my eyes. He said, how would you like to stay on top of this mountain tonight? And I said, whoa, okay. So at sunset, a driver named Orion, like the constellation, drives us up, beautiful sunset over the ocean. We arrive at the top of this mountain, nothing but clouds below us. It was like being in heaven. I've never seen anything like it before or since. go up to the room at the top of his house, a special room that hardly anybody ever stayed in. It was called Top House. When I checked in, she said, "What cabin are you taking?" I said, "We're staying in Top House." She said, "You're staying in Top House?" I said, "Yeah." So there we are, put the suitcase down. I've got the book by Rajneesh, a guy I never heard of before. And on the nightstand was a book called Only One Sky by Bhagwan Sri Rajneesh. And I went, whoa, meant to be, meant to be. Have you heard that lately? Meant to be. Meant to be by whom? I started reading Rajneesh, and it's like people who have read The Shack or people who have read some of these current bestsellers, there's a spirit that comes with this stuff, and it makes you feel really good as you read it. It's not the book. It's the spiritual thrust that comes with the book. So I took off into the whole Rajneesh thing. I was going to work. I was dressed in orange, which is kind of like the clothing of initiates. I was getting further and further, but as I went along, I was picking up these teachings. Rajneesh would say, you know, God is in everything. And he would, I mentioned this to you yesterday, he would say, you have to understand Jesus is the only way. Then the next time he would lecture, he'd say, one thing you have to understand, Buddha is the only way. And he did that with Muhammad, he did it with Mahavir. And by the time he was done, he rendered the whole idea of anyone being a single way was ridiculous. So that was being built in. So the next part of my journey, and the thing I need to explain is that all these things, you know, whether it's astrologers, Shirley MacLaine, Oprah Winfrey stuff, they all have the same bottom line, that God is in everyone and everything. Interestingly, in The Purpose-Driven Life, Rick Warren, using a new century Bible, one of the new Bibles, quoted it, God rules everything, is everywhere, and is in everything. Robert Shuler in November of 2003 said, God is not only transcendent out there, he's immanent. Yes, God is alive and he is in each and every single human being. Bruce Wilkinson, another Christian leader, said that Shuler was the real leader, the one who was out front on the edge. You know, you hear about the Israelites, there's the Shulerites, and they're all over the place. They're pastors that have been trained under Shuler. He had the Institute for Successful Church Leadership. Shuler bragged about how Rick Warren had come to his institute time after time. We've have a lot of pastors out there that have been trained in this watered-down, semi-New Age spirituality that is really infecting the church right now. So the next step was A Course in Miracles. And the way that I got involved in A Course in Miracles is I was in a massage, I was in a holistic health center, and I was taking a massage training, and one of the gals in the class gave me a book called Love is Letting Go of Fear by Gerald Jampolsky. And it talked about gratitude and forgiveness and concepts that were totally biblical. Then there were some other things mixed in, and he said, everything that I wrote in this book came from A Course in Miracles. And I went, well, I'm going to get that book. So I went down to the bookstore and was really surprised to see that The Course in Miracles had a lot of Christian language. Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, God, you know. I went, wait, this isn't what I was looking for. I went to the counter, there's a young guy there, and I said, what can you tell me about A Course in Miracles? He said, well, I've been doing it for 16 months and it changed my life. I went, oh, okay, I'll get it. All these little circumstances that keep nudging you on towards this new spirituality, this new worldview. And I'm going to just stop there. We're not talking about a new world religion. That's too scary. They know that. We're talking about a new spirituality, a new worldview. A new worldview that can change the world and that can bring world peace to the world. This is what they're saying. A Course in Miracles, reputedly channeled, given by Jesus Christ to a woman in New York City, who heard an inner voice saying, this is A Course in Miracles, please take notes. She did for 6 years, off and on. She'd stop writing, do whatever she did, come back, pick right up where it was. Seducing spirits, 1 Timothy 4:1. Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. So I started reading A Course in Miracles, and I accepted its teachings. Here are the teachings that came from Jesus Christ. Remember Matthew 24:3-5? When Jesus was asked, what will be the sign of your return and the end of the world? He said, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ and shall deceive many. Or how about 2 Corinthians 11:4? Paul chided the Corinthians, said, if another Jesus is preached, comes through here, you might just go along with it. You might just bear with it. David Hocking, Christian author, speaker, has been around for years. At a conference I spoke at with him, he said, hey, there's 50,000 Jesuses down in Mexico. There's a lot of, how many people, if you say Jesus to anybody in the New Age, they'll go, oh yeah. I remember when my Christian neighbor, years ago, I bumped into her and she said, well, Warren, you know, do you know Jesus? And I said, yeah. He's great. She said, oh good, you found Jesus. I'm so happy, we've been praying for you. And I went, yeah, yeah, yeah. And what I'm thinking is, you're real sweet, but you don't quite get it. You don't get it that everybody's God, everybody's Christ. Everybody likes Jesus, but not the biblical definition, not the Jesus who died on the cross for our sins, where the devil was defeated. When it says in Revelation that they were commended for holding fast to the name of Jesus, it's not the Jesus that's being presented out there in the world and in the church in many places right now. It's getting watered down. It's a watered down Jesus. It's a transitional Jesus that's taking us into a new worldview. What does the Course in Miracles Jesus say? Okay, Rick Warren, I just want to explain. Rick Warren says that the New Age is a bunch of baloney. You know, it's pretty graphic. You know, what does that mean? A bunch of baloney. This is the breath of Antichrist. Listen to the teachings of the New Age that came through this Jesus in the Course in Miracles. A slain Christ has no meaning. The journey to the cross should be the last useless journey. Do not make the pathetic error of clinging to the old rugged cross. There's no sin. There's no devil. The recognition of God, he says, is the recognition of yourself. The Course in Miracles has been popularized by Oprah Winfrey. I don't mean like on one program she said, oh yeah, by the way, you know, Course in Miracles is pretty good. No. In 1992, when I was, you know, my book was being edited by Moody Press and myself, warning about A Course in Miracles, The Light That Was Dark from the New Age to Amazing Grace. In February of that year, as I was editing, the book hadn't come out yet, there was a New York Times article about a woman named Marianne Williamson who'd written a book called A Return to Love, Reflections on the Principles of A Course in Miracles. And they were saying, this is like really going to be a big book. Oprah picked up on it. And on her February program in 1992, Oprah basically outed A Course in Miracles. She said, the teachings of A Course in Miracles can change the world. Did you hear what I just said came from this false Christ, Jesus of A Course in Miracles? A slain Christ has no meaning? That's the linchpin of the Christian faith. Paul said, all I know is Christ and Christ crucified. That's the heart of it. But he also said, you know, in 2 Corinthians 2:11, lest Satan get an advantage of us, we're not ignorant of his devices. We need to be aware of what's going on. And one of the biggest deceptions going on in the church right now is what's not being said. We have an Englishman by the name of Burke who said, for evil to prevail, good men just need do nothing. Martin Luther said something that Roger Oakland quoted in his book, The Evolution Conspiracy. He said, if I profess Christ, but do not at that moment address whatever the devil is attacking, then I'm not professing Christ. That's what's going on in Christian leadership right now. We're not talking about this philosophy, this spirituality that Oprah's been pushing for like 22 years, well, longer than that, but the Course in Miracles that she outed on her program. Now, Dave Fitzgerald winced yesterday when I showed this Oprah clip in his church. He says, I never wanted to have Oprah in my church. But we're showing it, you know, for a good reason. She creates a scenario where the world is really in crisis. She builds the reader or the viewer up by showing all the bad things that are going on in the world. And then they flip to the movie Grand Canyon, and Danny Glover, the actor, says, man, it's not supposed to be like this. And then it comes back to Oprah, and she says, yeah, it's not supposed to be like this. So what's gone wrong? My guest today is Marianne Williamson, and she introduces A Course in Miracles. Now, she doesn't say, oh, by the way, slain Christ has no meaning. No, she says, now I'm a Christian. Well, she's a New Age Christian, if there is such a thing, and there really isn't. As she presents the crises, listen carefully. In the background, you'll hear John Lennon's song Imagine. You may say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us and the world will be as one. You can even hear that line if you listen carefully. It's weaved into the crises. I just want to show you how slick this stuff is and how slick Oprah is. Now, I want to back up. When I was in the New Age, if I had a platform like Oprah Winfrey, I would have probably done the same thing. I'm not doubting her sincerity. She's just sincerely wrong and dangerously wrong because she's spreading it. There's Algerian women who model their lives after Oprah Winfrey. You know, if she takes a book written by your pastor and she says, hey, you know, have you seen Scott's book? It's really pretty good. You know, there's a rush to Barnes & Noble to buy his book. It's going to be on the bestseller list. Marianne Williamson's book, after this program, went to number one on the New York Times bestseller list. And remember, Oprah said that the principles of A Course in Miracles, the principles of a false Christ can change the world. And she's right, it could, for the absolute detriment, everything that Jesus warned about. The good news is that Jesus said, behold, I have told you these things ahead of time so you won't be offended when they happen. Folks, these things are happening at an accelerated level. This was 1992. Just several years ago, Oprah's AM radio station, Oprah and Friends, taught the Course in Miracles three times a day, every day for the whole year. Marianne Williamson, the one that's going to be introduced here, taught it. This is all going on. The only person that I ever heard in Christian leadership or media that's taken the Course in Miracles on was when I was on the 700 Club in 1993. Ben Kinchlow, the African-American guy that worked with Pat Robertson, interviewed me. He held A Course in Miracles up and he said, people, I can feel the evil in this book. That should have been going on. Everybody here should be well-versed. Nothing against Scott. You know, I mean, you may or may not have mentioned that, but there's just, until you bump into somebody that was coming out of the New Age, these things just aren't known. But we've been suppressed in terms, you know, you will not find my books in Christian bookstores. You just won't. But you will find some of these popular books, and we will talk about some of them in just a little while. But I would like it if these guys could now roll this. I just want you to watch the way that the media works. And remember, Aquarian Conspiracy, Marilyn Ferguson said, we're coming at you. God's in everything. We're not going to pull it off right away. But when things get publicized, a la Oprah Winfrey and others, but particularly Oprah, perhaps the chief false prophetess in the world today. And the reason she's so good is because she's probably really believes it, like I did. She's probably really sincere. She does a lot of wonderful things, but this is horrible. And that's scripture, Jeremiah 5, 30, 31. A wonderful and a horrible thing is committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and my people love to have it so. So if we could run that clip, it's about 4 minutes, and you'll see what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I'm going to kill. I'm going to go. I'm going to go. I'm going to attack her. was her daughter in law.
So she went only married that which and I took my kid.
The worst is yet to come.
And then burn me, they stab me, they rape me.
Who's gonna pay our bills? Who's gonna take care of us until I find another job? I have no one to rely on. I was so blind because I was working midnight, going to school during the day.
Are you asking me a favor as a sign of respect? Or are you asking me a favor because I got the gun?
Man, the world ain't supposed to work like this. I mean, maybe you don't know that, but this ain't the way it's supposed to be. I'm supposed to be able to do my job without asking you if I can. That dude is supposed to be able to wait for this car without you ripping him off. Everything's supposed to be different than what it is.
It's supposed to be, but what's gone wrong? My guest today is Marianne Williamson. Many of you know who she is because thousands of people every week, poor people and rich people and lots of celebrities, go to hear Marianne Williamson speak in Los Angeles and also in New York City. And what she talks about is based on a set of books. Many of you have heard about them, called A Course in Miracles. Marianne has become a teacher, a leader in the philosophy that I personally know could change the world. I believe that in my heart. And she has now written her own book. The book is called A Return to Love. Now let me just say this, that every day I have guests on this show, and I'd say at least 3 out of 5 times during the week, those guests come on the show with a book. I've read many books over the years. I have never been as moved by a book as I have by Marianne Williamson's book called A Return to Love. So moved, in fact, that I went out and bought 1,000 copies. And we'll be giving you all a copy before you leave here today. I really believe that the message in the book, Return to Love, is what we all need so much in our lives. And that's why I cannot, if it sounds like I'm trying to hype the book, I really am. Because I believe that it's so, so important. And for the first time, you could open a book and actually see some answers. So I first of all, I feel blessed that you're here and that you came to write.
He can see some answers. A slain Christ has no meaning. All those things that I mentioned. So my book comes out. Moody Press publicist says, Warren, your book, you know, you missed it. The new age is passé. You know, we're so sorry. That's just, they did no advertising. They gave me one interview with Moody Broadcasting. But the Lord is, he's amazing. And I said, no, this isn't going to just die here. I got the National Religious Broadcasters Guide with a list of all the radio stations across the country. And I wrote a very thorough cover letter saying Oprah Winfrey's teaching publicly what I had in the New Age. And I got on about 250 radio shows and I was on some TV, and the Lord wants people to know about this stuff, but it's just not being talked about. And the same teachings of A Course in Miracles are coming through in books like The Shack. There are so many things that are weaved in, but you know, there's all this love, forgiveness, gratitude, scripture, but sandwiched in between two scriptures will be this lie. When I was a kid, there was a game called Simon Says. Simon Says to do this, Simon Says do that, do this, do that. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. You don't say, well, I really like The Shack, you know, it's a very emotional story, and, you know, it's got a few things, it's just a novel. You know, there was a lady that went on her blog, Christian Universalism, and she said, Paul Young's a friend. He came to our home church, and he told us that the teachings in his book, The Shack, were all given to him in conversations he had with God. He just put it in a fictional context. It's just a novel. Got to be careful. 2 Peter 1:16, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. What does it say in the message? Instead of cunningly devised fables, it says, we weren't, you know, just wishing upon a star when we made known unto you. He just skewered cunningly devised fables. And isn't it interesting that Eugene Peterson is on the front cover of The Shack comparing The Shack to John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress? We weren't, you know, just wishing upon a star. It's more like Jiminy Cricket than some deep part of deception. I mean, and I, you know, it's not the place to go into other things on the message, but watering down, diminishing, changing the word of God. It's like when Jesus in the wilderness told the devil when he was being tempted, "It is written." Now it's like Eugene Peterson and Rick Warren stepping forward and saying, "It is rewritten." No, it's not rewritten. What I can tell you, the most powerful thing I can tell you today, is that as somebody who is totally deceived, the Bible laid it all out for me. It described everything I was involved in, and it's described everything for the last 30 years that I've watched going on in the church. The New Age has done nothing but grow exponentially as many Christian leaders just sat back and just were very content with the ministry that they had, and they're bringing in what my wife called these Christian gimmickry, you know, Promise Keepers, the Shack, the Message, Prayer of Jabez, Purpose-Driven Life, all this stuff. It's a sideline, and the false revival that I believe is coming is going to be a diversion, because they're not talking about false teachings. "Ye shall have no other gods before me." That includes the God in everyone and everything that is a false god, not being talked about. We're going to see some of the most whacked out, hyper-charismatic people being embraced by some of these well-known leaders and saying, "Hey, they're professing Jesus. I don't believe what they believe. But you know what? They're with us, and we need to be unified. We need unity." That's the battle cry right now, unity. But it's compromised unity. Jeremiah 9:3 talked about those who are not valiant for the truth. 2 Thessalonians talks about those who perish because they didn't have a love of the truth. You have to have a real Bible, not one of these. Hey, listen to this, the Voice, this new translation that just came out, and Chuck Smith Jr., you know, was involved with it, Brian McLaren, emergent leader, Leonard Sweet. Listen to 2 Peter 3:18 in King James. "But grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever." Here's the Voice, which is also on what's the Bible website where they have all the Bibles? I'm in my mind, just somebody, you know, when you want to go to a Bible, what is it? Where they have all these different Bibles. I can't remember exactly, but you know, it's included in that group. Listen to what the Voice says. "Instead, grow in grace and the true knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus, the Anointed One, to whom be the glory now until the coming of the new age." Hello? Hidden in plain sight, right there. I mentioned yesterday that the first thing that hit me was that this Bible, the Voice, it's not, I can't even call it a Bible, this book came out on April 10th, 2012, 100 years to the day that the Titanic set sail from Southampton, England. I thought that was kind of interesting. Talk about coincidences. I mean, this thing is going to sink the church if this becomes kind of like the new Bible. So there's so many different things we could talk about, but I want to just give you a few trends that are coming at the church. Have you noticed that heaven is really being just like broadcast in so many different ways? I was actually at a bookstore in the Edmonton, Alberta airport, and the clerk came up to me. I was looking at all these books on heaven. He says, "Isn't that something? Check this one out." It was The Boy Who Came Back from Heaven by Alex and Kevin Malarkey. And I said, "Well, that is interesting, isn't it?" But Heaven Is For Real got a lot of play. And I mentioned a few things about Heaven Is For Real when I was up in Winnipeg, outside of Winnipeg, Canada, about a month ago. And what I said basically was, I said, you know, we're being really, heaven is coming down to earth. There's a saying, as above, so below. As God is in heaven, so he is down here in each and every one of us. That's a New Age saying, as above, so below. It's the key to all magic and all mysteries in the New Age. Eugene Peterson has it in the middle of the Lord's Prayer. Instead of in heaven, as it is in earth, as it is in heaven, he says, as above, so below. So I said, you know, heaven is for real. It's tricky. I mean, what are you going to do? The four-year-old kid goes up there. His father's a pastor. The book's been reasonably sanitized. But here's an interesting thought for those of you that might have got caught up in that book. I saw the movie, too. I read the book, and I saw the movie. At the end of the book, his father shows him all these pictures of Jesus, and Todd Burpo? He says, no, that doesn't look anything like him. Yeah, that one, that's him. It was done by an artist, a young New Age artist by the name of Akiyana. She was a child prodigy, and she takes these trips to heaven, and God shows her all these things, and then she paints pictures. One of the pictures that she painted is called Co-Creation. That is holy New Age. Think about it. How can we co-create with God? The only way we could co-create with God is if we are God. Well, the New Age says we are God, and we can co-create with God. So, hey, we've been God all along. We can change the rules. We can do anything we want because we're God. Co-creation, total New Age concept. Akiyana has a painting called Co-Creation. Akiyana has a book coming out, may even be out by now, saying that we're all one, we're all connected. She's a New Ager. Can you see it someday? Whoever is here as a believer, Christ arrives in Jerusalem, the false Christ. He's got a battery of microphones, and people are, you know, believers at that time are going, do you think it's him? Do you think it's the Antichrist? Whatever. And Todd Burpo goes, yeah, that's who I saw in heaven. And then Akiyana goes, yeah, that's who I saw on my trips. I go, well, hey, he was there. This is dangerous, folks. This is really dangerous. And the New Age is saying that those in heaven, remember the ball of light. Remember what I was told. Those on the other side want to be active in your life. Loved ones who have passed on, angels, spirits who are interested in your well-being. What the New Age is saying is that we don't get it down here. They have the answers in heaven. They want to bring it down to us. So what's the answer? What's the big push right now? Contemplative prayer. Recite scripture, sit there, and wait to hear what Jesus tells you, says Beth Moore, John Piper, Francis Chan, Louis Giglio, with no warning about seducing spirits. I watched a clip where the four of them, they were in a stadium with young people, and Beth Moore read from the Bible, and then she said, now close your eyes and see what Jesus would tell you. Now, you can do that. I mean, you can do that if you want to, but you better tell people, test the spirits. If you hear something, you better make sure it's really the Lord. And a good prayer is like, Lord, I don't want to have anything that isn't of you. And if a voice comes in, it's like, Lord, if this isn't you, take it away. My friend Jesse had been a believer for like 15 years. He was on a retreat. He fasted for 3 days. He wanted to know what ministry the Lord would have him do. He's out in the valley in Oregon. He prayed, Lord, what ministry would you have me do? And he hears, you're going to be a healer. That's exactly what he wanted to do. When he heard it a second time, he goes, yes, Lord, with you working through me. When he heard it a third time, the hair stood up on his arm. He prayed and he commanded in Jesus' name that if this was a false deceptive spirit, that it would leave, and it left. This guy's a Christian. This guy's praying sincerely. It's deceptive. It's tricky. Jesus said the way is broad that leads to destruction. The way is narrow that leads to eternal life. Few there be that find it. Wait a second. Rick Warren said there's 2 billion Christians. Let's just, hey, can't we all just get along? Jesus said they're going to persecute you because they persecuted me. They're going to hate you because they hated me. And he said they're going to call you Beelzebub or Satan because that's what they called me. You know what the New Age says is the only thing satanic? Not believing in your own and everybody else's divinity. They're already saying the things that Jesus warned about. Can you imagine what it was like for me when I read Johanna Michelson's book, The Beautiful Side of Evil? That's how I got saved. A woman who had been through a lot of the stuff that we were involved in basically wrote a book and laid it out. And I've got my whole testimony. This isn't the time and place really to go through more of that. But it's just the way it is. There's a false Christ coming on to the, not only to the world, but into the church. So let's not get too caught up with all this heavens, every heaven this, heaven that, you know, the boy who came back from heaven, you know, the near-death experiences. Now, I just got to tell you this anecdote, because when I was in Winnipeg, I told that story about co-creation. I said, you better be careful. You know, if the Apostle Paul was given a thorn in the flesh, you know, years after his experience that he couldn't talk about, we're going to have a 4-year-old kid go to heaven and come back and tell us the way things are? I mean, what kind of pride would that put into a kid who's got a best-selling book that's a multi-million-dollar industry now? You just got to ask these questions. And, you know, do you take my word or my doubt? No, but you should pray about it. If you're really taken by that book, you should pray about it. James 1:5, ask the Lord for wisdom. He'll let you know. Lord, is this book, can I trust this book? Can I trust these teachings? Whatever. There's a book called Have Heart, Bridging the Gulf Between Heaven and Earth. Pastor Steve Berger outside of Nashville, Calvary Chapel affiliate, tragic death of his son in an automobile accident before he went to college. He and his wife, some members of his congregation and some people around the country are now hearing directly from Josiah, the son. They're communicating with him. Greg Laurie endorsed the book. Hello? A friend of mine who has a discernment ministry called Greg Laurie's secretary and said, I would like to talk to Greg about his endorsement of Half Heart. Phone went dead for a while. The secretary came back and she said, Greg's not going to comment on that. Look, folks, it's getting dangerous when we have books that are promoting necromancy. And Steve Berger's done everything he can to try to make communication with the dead, you know, legitimate and biblical. It's not. What is it, Luke 16? You know, the rich man saying, oh, can you send somebody to tell my relatives? No, they had Moses and the prophets. And if one rose from the dead, they wouldn't believe him. No. Deuteronomy, 18? You know, consulter familiar spirits. I mean, the spirit world wants to talk to the church, and it is. Have heart. It's also endorsed by the author of The Shack. Surprise, 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 as Gomer Pyle used to say. And then you've got James Robeson, and you've got Chuck Missler. Chuck Missler endorsed the book. Now, when Chuck was confronted on that, he said, contrary to our usual policy, Nancy and I didn't read the whole book. Okay, well, good. Thanks for being honest about it. You endorsed a book that you hadn't really read, a very dangerous book. Talk about it. Warn people. No, his son-in-law is the assistant pastor at Steve Berger's church. I'm just curious, how many people have heard of the book Jesus Calling? Few people, okay. It's the number one best-selling Christian book as we speak. It's sold over 10 million copies. I walked into your Lifeway bookstore in St. Anne's or right around that area, and as you walk in the door, there's this big display that says Sarah Young's best-selling books, and there's just like tons of her books, spin-offs of Jesus Calling. How many of you have never heard of Jesus Calling, don't know anything about the book? Quite a few of you, okay. Sarah Young took a walk in the French Alps when she was staying at Francis and Edith Schaeffer's LaBrie Fellowship. And on this walk, she said she felt like she was enveloped by a mist. And she said, sweet Jesus. And she said, I never heard myself talk like that before. But it was the voice of a converted heart. And that was her conversion to Jesus. And then she got messages from Jesus years later because she was inspired by a book called God Calling. God Calling was channeled. It's a channeled New Age book that came from Jesus, just like the Course in Miracles, Jesus, through these two anonymous women. They wrote down the messages, put it into the form of devotional, God Calling. Sarah Young read the book and said, oh, this book inspired me to get my own messages, and she calls her book Jesus Calling. So I've written a book called Another Jesus Calling, and I've critiqued her book and the messages that came in, and a lot of them are just not biblical. One of them, the Jesus of her messages, says, I am above all as well as in all. Now, if you're reading that book, it's on page 199, by the way, if you read that book and you see that, you go, wait a minute, that guy that was in the New Age, you know, he said that was the bottom line of the New Age. That's what's coming into the church. What's it doing there? It can't be coming from the real Jesus. So what's really interesting is the messages that Sarah Young has been receiving have now been changed into the devotions that she received with her Bible open. It's just Sarah Young now. So if there's a mistake, it's not the Jesus that she's listening to, it's Sarah Young. A booklet just came out. You can go to Lighthouse Trails blog. And I just did this over the last 2 weeks, and I wrote a booklet called Changing Jesus Calling, Damage Control for a False Christ. Thomas Nelson is removing chunks of material from that book, material that I critiqued and said, wait a minute, I'll give you an example. How about the Christmas, December 25th, those of you that have the book or maybe even reading the book, okay, here's what the Jesus of Jesus Calling, remember, this book has doubled in sales over the last 10 years. They just came out with a 10th anniversary edition, so for $29.95, you can read their damage control. I mean, let me read this definition. I did this one day, I just was like going, come on, evangelical. Definition, in of or according to the Gospels or the teaching of the New Testament. Gullible, easily cheated, tricked. Evangullible, easily tricked or cheated by teachers' teachings that purport to be biblical and are not. We have an evangullible church, but we have an ignorant church because those that have the big mic, the big media clout, are not warning us about these things. And as they don't warn about it, these things are sneaking in and we're moving right into it. It's almost like you got the New Age, and you've got what was the evangelical church over the years. Boom, 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 boom. Interfacing, one. I think we're looking at the lie that's talked about in 2 Thessalonians, that God is in everyone and everything. I even call it the quantum lie because they're trying to use quantum physics to prove that God is in everyone and everything. Annette Capps, her father Charles Capps, was a fairly well-known charismatic, hyper-charismatic pastor. She said, and her book is called Quantum Faith, and she quotes New Age leader Gary Zukav in his book about quantum physics. She says, my father said that you won't have to have faith in the future because science will prove what was our faith. Leonard Sweet, who's talking at the highest levels of Christian leadership, he did small group workshops with Rick Warren, did a tape called Tides of Change with Rick Warren. He wrote a book called Quantum Spirituality in 1991. Same stuff. In that book, he said, the father of the New Age movement, he didn't say that, I'm telling you, that Teilhard de Chardin, a French Jesuit priest, who was actually kicked out of the Catholic Church, his ratings were not even allowed in the Catholic Church, father of the New Age movement, he says that Teilhard de Chardin was 20th century Christianity's major voice. I could read you a whole list of Chardin's teachings about the, you know, God changes. You know, God is in everything. And he talks about the New Age. Let me just read you, because this is really important, and I don't want to just send you all out of here, you know, depressed, but I think we should rejoice. Rejoice always. In everything, give thanks. Heresies must come. They must come, because then we can see that's not true? Wow. I mean, I'm standing here telling you the Bible tells us everything we need to know. Sufficiency of the Word of God, you know, quick and powerful, and any two-edged sword, just boom. And it's like, no, we're being told by Beth Moore, you've got to, have you heard the voice of Jesus lately? You haven't? Is everything okay in your family? You have some hidden sin? I mean, that's what's going on. It's like the old days with tongues. You speak in tongues, you don't? There's pressure being put on. Bill Hybels has a book called Whisper, Hearing the Voice of God and Having the Guts to Respond. That's flat-out intimidation. The pressure for contemplative prayer is the enemy urgently trying to get Christians to listen to voices that are not of God. We're getting no warnings from Hybels, from Rick Warren, from any of the from Beth Moore. I've never heard her say, test the spirits. The only thing that I've ever seen her say, test the spirits, was she said, God has told me that revival's coming, and there will be those that the Bible warned about, the scoffers that the Bible warned about will say that, no, this is not from God. Test the spirit. I went, oh, that's slick. She's saying, test the spirit of what she just said, because then someone like me will stand up there saying, I don't think this is going to be a real revival. And she'll say, see, there it is. I'm prophetic. I just told you about him. They're laying down gauntlets. They're laying down kind of like little spiritual landmines that people who are trying to warn about this step on, and then it kind of explodes, and they go, oh yeah, there he is, you know, Mr. Negativity himself. I mean, somebody tried to talk to a bookstore person about my book, Another Jesus Calling, and they said, oh yeah, we know him. We don't carry his negative stuff. Somebody wrote an email and said, I gave your book, Another Jesus Calling, to somebody who was reading it, and it changed her life. It turned everything upside down. She's seeing the deception. The next email I got said, I tried to give your book to a friend of mine, and she said, why doesn't Warren Smith get a life? He's demonic. There's a spirit, folks, that comes with this book. And if any of you are reading this book, please pray. And, you know, if anybody's reading this book in this group, please take on me a copy of my book, Another Jesus Calling, and just read through it and just pray, because I think it's one of the biggest traps that's come into the church ever. Many will come in my name saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. One woman said that when she realized she was reading Jesus Calling all the time and not her Bible, something was wrong. She stopped reading Jesus Calling, and she said she felt like she went through withdrawal. Then she said, I really knew there was something wrong. One woman said that she felt like Jesus, the Jesus of Jesus calling, went with her to church, went with her to the grocery store, and she finally got it. This is not Jesus. Johanna Michelson's book, The Beautiful Side of Evil, she had a spirit guide. This Christian woman didn't know her Bible, accepted Jesus in college, and then went deep into the New Age with a psychic surgeon in Mexico City, and she had a spirit guide named Jesus Christ. When she finally tested the spirit, challenged her Jesus Christ spirit guide, she said it was like her meditation laboratory, she called it, exploded, and this Jesus left forever. But Jesus really loves me. He wouldn't let me get deceived. He really loves you. That's why he's giving you these warnings. That's why the Bible is what it is. The Bible is sufficient. We don't need Sarah Young. She is a perfect example of the scripture that says deceiving and deceived. She's deceived herself and she's deceiving tons of people. I left things open for Sarah Young. I really wanted to give her the benefit of the doubt that she was just deceived like we were in the New Age. When they started removing, okay, here's an example. I started to tell you about the Christmas. Here's what Jesus says in Jesus Calling. Try to imagine what I gave up when I came into your world as a baby. I set aside my glory so that I could identify with mankind. I accepted the limitations of infancy under the most appalling conditions, a filthy stable. That was a dark night for me. Does that sound like your Savior? I mean, he's hardly out of the womb and he's complaining already? You know, Philippians 4:11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I haven't learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content, inspired by him. In the new edition, the 10th anniversary edition, that dark night for me, my wife suggested, I know who that was a dark night for when Jesus was born. It was the devil. Yes. Gone. Now that was not exactly a glorious setting. God Calling, all references to God Calling, the book that inspired her to do Jesus Calling, the New Age book that the Encyclopedia of New Age Beliefs published by Christian publishers Harvest House called a New Age book. It's not just an ex-New Ager saying it. God Calling's gone. 78 of my footnotes up in smoke because I talked about God Calling. My publisher got a call. Warren Smith's book, it doesn't make any sense. You know, his stuff doesn't track with Sarah Young's book at all. That's when we realized they were changing stuff, manipulating stuff. The Jesus of Jesus Calling called Abraham a son, S-O-N, worshiper, an idolater, a man of undisciplined emotions. When we brought that to public light in a really big way, gone. Now it's Joseph and Jacob, cut and pasted in. Damage control. They've got a multi-million dollar industry going on. A friend of mine who was in publishing said it's the Christian evangelical complex industry. I mean, it's like it's HarperCollins, it's Rupert Murdoch that owns Thomas Nelson. They don't care about the truth. They probably have a lot of people that are editing her book. They just cut and pasted out what they wanted. It's just like the Watergate tapes. There was a problem there, and they knew it was a no-win situation. Gone. Disappeared. So my book, Another Jesus Calling, you know, you're going to probably, a lot of times the way that the Lord works is that you maybe never heard of the book, but maybe in a week or two, somebody's going to say, your Aunt Mary's going to call and say, oh, I got this book. It's so good. You know, I gave it to my friend who was dying and it comforted her. Hey, Job talked about false comforters. If you're being comforted with things that aren't true and that aren't coming from the true Christ, then it's no comfort at all. And you need to be careful about that. So if you guys would, I've never done this before, but you know, I talked about this book yesterday, and we've had a real good meeting here, and I appreciate being here. If you guys would pray, I just have this booklet that just came out yesterday, and my book has created a stir, but it's not, you know, how many Christian leaders have even addressed the book Jesus Calling? Zippo. I mean, number one Christian book with some questions or whatever. They're not endorsing it. They're not criticizing it. They're just pretending it's not there. Beth Moore had it one day up on her website, on the Wednesdays with Beth with James Robeson on TBN. One day it was up there as a promotion, gone. Somebody told her, ooh, you don't want to do that. Beth Moore, you know, am I being overly harsh here? I mean, the woman has established herself as a primo Bible teacher, and she defends the message. She defends the message and uses it. Hello? Sarah Young uses the message. I said, if you want clear proof that it's not Jesus Christ, he would have told her, don't use the message. She's got it in her book. She does visualization. She visualizes, you know, God coming and protecting her family. There's just 20 examples that I give of the problems. The Jesus of Jesus Calling says, when you make that quantum leap into eternity, you will find me awaiting you in heaven. Quantum leap. It's become part of our vocabulary. But it's there. It's sitting there waiting for quantum physics to be outed. Remember when, some of you that are, obviously weren't around then, but when Neil Armstrong stepped on the moon, he said, one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. In the future, they're going to have a new worldview, and they're going to say, one small step for man, one quantum leap for mankind. Everything will change, just like Oprah said. There's so much more we could do. I think I've used my time. It's been really easy speaking here. It's a really nice group. I really appreciate being here. I think we're going to have some future together. So God, he's bringing us all together. He's making us aware of things. And again, if I've said anything that's offended anybody, I got to go back and tell you the anecdote, and I'll end on that. When I was in Winnipeg, I talked about heaven is for real. The pastor had me shake hands with everybody as they came out. About 10 to 15 women in their 70s and 80s came through. They could not look me in the eye. They hated my guts. I could just feel it. I went, whoa. I don't usually do that where I'm asked to speak. I told the pastor, I said, Pastor, those women did not like me. They must have been reading Heaven is for Real and liking it. He said, oh, more than that, Warren, Heaven is for Real, the movie, was filmed on some of their farms. And I went, oh, no. and then I said, well, you know, I'm sorry if I offended anybody. He says, no, they needed it. You said exactly what needed to be said. So if I've stepped on any toes, I think really the thing to do, pray about it. Ask God. You know, we're not getting that. It's not God's will be done. It's like command your Lord, it says in God Calling. So you don't need to know all the things that are bad. There's so many of them. It's like so many holes in the dike, you can't put your finger in them all. But I think I've given you a summary of how this thing's coming down. Keep your eye on the big drum roll for revival and watch how it's done and that false teachings are not being addressed. Somehow we're going to have a revival without dealing with the false teachings. And people like Benny Hinn will be folded in under the umbrella of the John Pipers and Beth Moores and Rick Warrens. And if even people like Greg Laurie, if he doesn't get, you know, I'm not sure where he's going with his relationship with Rick Warren and with his endorsement of a book where the pastor is talking to his dead son. I just know that he's very uncomfortable with those of us that talk about some of these discernment issues. And I don't know why that is. He's a great Bible teacher, but when you're not doing the full counsel of God, remember Acts 20:27, for I've not shunned to preach the full counsel of God, and then what's right after that? Grievous wolves will come into the church. So when they're not talking about things, they can snow you with all the great sermons, but if they're not talking about what's happening, Martin Luther said they're not really confessing Christ if they're not going after what's happening. So the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. It's proven itself to me. I've been talking about this stuff for 30 years. I think there are people waking up, and I think part of our responsibility is to make sure when your Aunt Mary says, oh, I've got a great Christmas present for you, wait till you see, and you open it up and it's Jesus Calling. You don't just call Aunt Mary and say, oh, we had a speaker at our church. That's a bad book. What you want to do is you want to have just enough knowledge about why that book is bad and just ask some good questions. Jesus asked good questions, and he put people right up against the wall. We tend to shy away from these kinds of, people would call them confrontations, but I think this is the way that we're going to be witnessing. The church is falling away. Part of our job is going to help save those that are taking that step off the path. I live in the Sierra Nevada Mountains in California. There was an article on the front page of the paper, and it said a lot of people get lost every year. They step off the trail, and then they get lost, and one or two or three last year died. And the article said, when you take a step off the trail, the most important thing is that next step. Is it back on the trail, or is it further away from the trail? So, you know, all of us, I mean, Scott and I were talking. I mean, he's made his errors in the faith. I've made mine, you know, even within the faith. You know, we were all learning. But we need to put it together because the times are very intense and the crises are flowing in to try to make us compromise. And we need to stand with our loved ones and we need to witness to our own brothers and sisters when they're reading books like Jesus Calling or The Shack or The Message. Everything's getting watered down. We need to say, you know what? I love the truth and this is watered down or it's blasphemous.